This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Feminism in your ears. It's another broad podcast on Joy 94.9. Keep listening. Hashtag feminism. Hashtag podcast. Hashtag broad. On Joy 94.9.
I'm gonna marry the night. I won't give up on my life. I'm a woman.
And you're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California, well, to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, I tell you.
and welcome to Broad here on Joy 94.9. Broad would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands that we broadcast from, the Kulin Nation, pay respect to all the Kulin elders, women from the past, present, and those women who will be our future elders. We'd also like to acknowledge with respect the traditional owners of all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander lands that we broadcast to, and to pay respect to all elders and women elders from all clans and nations, past, present and future. So yes, welcome to Broad. And that was Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, their version of This Land Is Your Land. I probably know that from the Woody Guthrie going back, way back in the, 1930s or 40s, I think. I'm just guessing. And to acknowledge the loss and also the great talent that was Sharon Jones, who sadly passed away on the 18th of November last Friday, and after a very long battle with pancreatic cancer. Very sad indeed, but what an amazing woman. And speaking of amazing women, in the studio tonight I have live, it's always good to have a live guest, I have Namila Benson, broadcaster and educator. Welcome to Broad.
Oh, it's so exciting to be here. Thank you so much, Sonia.
It's great to have you here too. And like we were saying off air, you know, about Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, and what an amazing woman.
Well, absolutely. Mm. Like, incredibly powerful. And I think for many women of colour around the world as well, like, here was a woman, because she used to work in the prison system, you know, over in the US, and she ended up having to get that as a day job because she was told for so long to just give up this idea of music because she was too short, too fat, too black, too, you know, all of these different levels and layers of her identity were incredibly critiqued. But thank goodness she, you know, found the funk and found the soul and shared it with the world.
When I first heard them, I think it was 2008, was 100 Days, and I saw the video and I thought, people make video music videos like that. It was so raw and gritty and sweaty.
Absolutely.
Which is really perfect for tonight.
Absolutely. Very sweaty. So ideal. Thank you, Melbourne. My goodness. With this crazy weather. But I actually had the chance to catch her and to meet her a couple of times. Wow. As well. She was incredible. Did you ever catch her live?
I caught her live, 2010? I can't even remember, but ages ago. And
what a powerhouse.
Oh, yeah, amazing. But I never got a chance to see her or see them again. But you met her. That's a bit terrible.
Yeah. Well, she used to really, she just, as a performer, she really loved connecting with people that loved her music and really kind of fed off that energy. And, she was just incredibly warm, really, really passionate kind of person, and great politics as well,
You said that she'd worked in the prison system.
She did, absolutely. Mm. So, you know, I think that's a really hard, the justice system in any form is a really difficult industry, isn't it? But I think it was always music that kind of saved her and carried her through. But when it comes to women of colour, especially, you know, living artists, we were really blessed to have her in our
60. She would have been in her, mid-40s.
I think she was 60.
When she started, the Dap Kings,
that's
really
it.
Hitting, you know,
so a late bloomer.
I know, it's good to know. So we will miss her, but I thought This Land Is Your Land is perfect, considering a lot of things that are happening to our brothers and sisters and over in the US right now. It's a really difficult, intense time, very fraught with a lot of pain and passion there about some of the injustices that are going on. And I don't know, it's a hard thing to say for people of color, for minorities, for immigrants, asylum seekers, and of course for the natives, native people, indigenous people in the US.
That's right.
It's a really rough time now.
Yeah, and I think, it's really going to have quite dramatic ripple effects, isn't it, around the world. And I think we're already in really shaky times. But I have to say, I think in a lot of ways, 2016 has been a powerful year for minorities to really step up and hold their ground in terms of their stories and their experiences, their lived experiences. And I feel like there's been a real shift with all of that.
I think something that's pretty obvious at the moment is of course what's happening in North Dakota, a Standing Rock, and a lot of the Indigenous women there are standing up. And unfortunately tonight, it's It's our night time, of course. It's the early hours of the morning, I believe, now, Monday morning there. But it's been a very difficult time with the bridge that is the only access road point for the outside world has been barricaded by the authorities there, by the police. And we're talking about police that have been brought in from seven different states surrounding Dakota. They're not even local police force, and have barricaded and been using water cannon. It is below 20 degrees freezing, and they've been using cold water cannons, which are quite the force, and using it on our people, water protectors. Yeah, these people aren't protesting. They're actually protecting.
Yeah.
They're protecting a water source which could very well be damaged and polluted because of the Dakota pipeline.
I mean, you know, and you just think that's under Obama that that's happening.
I know.
But the militarization, the further militarization of what's going to happen with the police force across the US under Trump. I mean, I don't even, how do we even start to break down how, you know, I thought, am I that badly out of touch with life and reality? I just didn't pick such an overwhelming win. That
I couldn't believe it. I really, it was traumatic. It was traumatic, you know, having friends from the US there too. And you would know people too. It's
exactly.
Traumatic. It's just
really
mind-blowing and so awful. So I just want to say, you know, that Broad does stand by, we stand with Standing Rock. That's our opinion, and our stand is that water access is for the Indigenous people of the lands there to have control and guardianship over, and no company or corporation has the right to do that. It's sacred ground. So a lot of sacred stuff happening right around the world, and I think this will be a great time to, on the positive, to hopefully kick off and see some more Indigenous trends, positive trends of Indigenous people standing up right around the world.
That's,
I think
that's right. When it comes to sovereignty and self-determination, I mean, it's incredibly important.
How political are we tonight?
Yeah, I know. Absolutely. We've gone in hard, haven't we? But it's the truth, though. Mm. Like, especially when you look at our brothers and sisters here as well. Like, we can't even really be pointing the finger, can we, at the US? Because, I mean, there's just so much damage that just really runs deep here in Australia. And I feel like at the heart of it, it's so much about race, and there's this real inability as a nation for us to just really actively engage in issues and conversations and dialogue respectfully and meaningfully and with depth when it comes to issues of race. It's such a, you know, and I feel like that's a festering wound that just won't heal on this nation's psyche when it comes to kind of progressing and moving ahead. But yeah, and then West Papua is another
one, of course, as well.
You know, like, so within our own region, I mean, we can point the finger at overseas nations, but yeah, I think we all need a Justin Trudeau.
Do you really?
Well, he seems to just be at least acknowledging and sort of moving ahead with, or maybe I'm just being shallow because he's such a handsome lad.
Well, he's not hard on the eye. That's what they say. It's hard somewhere else probably for some, but...
See, now you're making your sister
Canadians
blush. You can't do that.
Canadians, I don't know. It must be the cold weather or something. Firms it up. No shrinkage. All right. So... Look, Namila, we do talk about you shortly. I mean, that's what we're here for. Well, that's why you're here.
I just want to chat with you, Sonia.
Okay, I love it.
Enough. Yeah.
And you can chat with us. All you have to do is SMS. It's pretty easy. 0427JOY949. You can email too if you want to, onair@joy.org.au, or you can phone Roberto out there, 1300JOY949. This is Broad on Joy.
Hi, this is Clementine Ford. You're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9, and I'm encouraging all of you to fight like a girl, just as I know Sonia does.
I'm more than the color of my skin. I'm the girl that likes to sing. All I know is what's within, not just a brown girl in the ring. Go to school and learn their ways, told how to think and what to say. While my mother says to pray, I pray for better days. God help them see they ain't no different from me. Not above, not beneath. Teach them equality. I'm not just the brown girl in the rain. I'm a girl that likes to sing. I'm not just the brown girl in the rain. I'm a girl that likes to sing. Color tones that they see, more than urban R&B, more than the slang that I speak. Close your eyes, don't say a word, don't speak about what you see nor heard. Let's pretend that it's okay, just the way the devil likes to play. Look in my eyes, look in my eyes. I can't lie, I can't lie. All these years of my life, I'm just from the outside.
This is Broad on Joy 94.9. That's Aradhana Patel, better known by her stage name, Aradhana. And actually, Namila, you've got who's here with us, broadcaster, educator extraordinaire, here on Broad tonight. You were going to talk about her anyway.
Yeah, what's going on? Man, you know, I mean, Sister is fire. She really called out the music industry at the New Zealand Music Awards. So it was last week. Yeah. And basically she won an award for the best urban, which is a term I find quite problematic, urban/hip-hop album, but she ended up rejecting the award because she said, I feel like I'm just being placed in a category for brown people. And she was sort of calling them out and saying, you know, just because I'm a brown person doesn't mean that the music I make is hip-hop. And as we heard with that beautiful, I mean, that's soul, you know.
Brown girl, yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah, so that caused, that kind of shook the industry up, and it's kind of caused ripples, I think, around the music, you know, with the global music community, definitely here in Australia. Yeah. It's really resonated because we're in the throes at the moment with November being Australia, you know, Music Month.
Mm.
And these are the kind of conversations that we're still not having, you know, within the music industry. So Melbourne Music Week was last week. I went to a really great panel featuring the Shepparton hip-hop artist Briggs,
who is forever
kind of putting out, you know, like great music, but then putting out spot, you know, like spot fires with the racists as well, who really, you know, because he calls out blackface, he calls out just anything that's really problematic, again, when it comes to race and people going, oh, that's not racist, and stop always looking for an excuse to call something racist. And it's like, why is Australia still having these conversations about whether gollywogs are fine or whether blackface is fine, you know, in 2016? And so he had a lot of really interesting things to say because he, you know, with taking on this fight, not only with the music industry, but also with just Australia's social and political landscape in general, he really...
And he's, you know, such a multifaceted, talented actor as well. Comedian.
That's it.
Aboriginal.
Absolutely.
Is it Aboriginal?
Yeah, that's it.
AB Original. Yeah. Yeah. And Clever Man.
Oh.
He was just amazing in that.
I know. That entire cast. Yeah. My goodness. But, yeah, it was very interesting to hear what he had to say about Australia's music industry as well. But, look, the take-home message, because there were some young African brothers that were in the audience listening to what Briggs had to say. He's just like, just keep at it. Because my thing was, how do you keep at it when, you know, your creativity and craft is having to deal with these things on the side, which white artists wouldn't necessarily have to deal
and
with.
And you get questioned too, like, or you're the, you know, you become the go-to person as well.
What is with that?
The representative of everybody who
Absolutely.
Is of colour. And that. That's exhausting. I mean, it's a tiring thing.
It really is.
How
and
do
I
you
think
approach that?
That's
know?
It. And the fact that people don't understand the fatigue of the fact that, you know, as a person of colour, you're answerable for an entire race and an entire community. And you know, privilege is being able to just do what you do and not even have to think about that. And, you know, even for yourself and I, Sonia, you know, as broadcasters from, like a brown community, it's something that I'm very mindful of is like, oh, when I switch on that mic and I'm about to say something, like I really need to be mindful of the impacts that will have on my nieces, my nephews. You know, I know that my aunties are listening in. They'll take me to task if I say something. Yes, absolutely. And
no
my
escape.
Dad as well. I know.
Yeah.
There is no escape.
Mm.
But, you know, hey, that's the sense of community that we're able to build as well. So that's also a blessing, isn't it?
So I think it's a good time to segue to more about you then, you know, because the first part we were just talking about randomly interesting stuff, of course, what's happening, Sharon Jones and all of that. And just tell us a bit more about what you do as a broadcaster and educator.
Sure. Well, I've got little ones now, so I have moved off the airwaves. I mean, I still do it from time to time, but I work as a broadcast trainer over at 3CR as well as Triple R. So I started in radio 23 years ago, and as a, you know, very dark-skinned Papua New Guinean Islander woman, I just didn't kind of see my stories and my experiences being reflected in Australian media.
Is that what made you go into media to do that?
Look, that was definitely a part of it. Mm. And I think too, I mean, because, you know, you do hear the saying, you can't be what you can't see. But I think what it was for me, I just had this, and I still have this endless curiosity about people. I mean, every face has got a story to tell. But I just thought, why are people who look like me not sort of being represented out there? And so around the time I actually got into radio, which was at 3CR to begin with, and I started hosting after 2 weeks. I love the nature of community radio because I just rang them one day. I'm like, I don't really know what I want to do, but I'm thinking I might be interested in radio. I'm happy to help out. And they're like, okay, can you start today? We need a receptionist. Our receptionist, a volunteer receptionist, has called in sick. So I said, yeah, okay, fine. And And then 2 weeks later, someone said, have you done radio? Yeah, pretty much. Have you done radio before? No. Great. Well, you'll be presenting this afternoon. And it started, and I found it just so amazing. Mm. And I mean, narratives as well is something that's really super important for me. It's this whole thing of, you know, who's telling the stories, who are they telling the stories about, who are they telling the stories for? And when it came to my Pacific community, especially with my nationality, it was just such a negative narrative that was consistently out there. And I just thought, you know, I'd go on holidays to PNG. I still do. And I'm like, that's not what it's like. It's really beautiful, and the sense of, you know, how close it is. I mean, it's not to say that there's not the social issues there. There absolutely is, especially when it comes to gender-based violence. That's a huge problem over there, but it's problematic in Australia. And I think that's what confuses me a little bit, is that people are just pointing the fingers without thinking, hang on a minute.
Happens here.
Yeah. Mm. PNG is not a party of one when it comes to that those kind of issues. Mm. So being able to kind of explore that and flesh it out a bit more, was great.
That's a real challenge. Now, okay, 23 years later.
I know.
How is it, like, for you now, being a broadcaster and being there behind the mic?
I mean,
what's it like now?
Has
it changed a lot?
Well, it has changed a lot in terms of the media landscape. So I was thrilled when we crossed paths at the Listen conference a few weeks ago, because I love how many brown folks are now, you know, getting into radio and doing amazing podcasts. And, you know, we're all connecting and we've got stories. There's shared experiences there, but there's also very distinct lived experiences as well. And, you know, we're trying to find our way like many others. There's a whole myriad of different levels when it comes to our identities. And, you know, for me, even as a mother, that kind of stepped things up another level in a way that I hadn't really considered before, because my kids are mixed, so you know, they're also part of like the world is going to be a very different place for them as well. But as I was saying earlier, I feel like 2016, I've never been busier when it comes to talking to you know, talking about racial identity politics. It's been super busy. Like, people want to learn, but yeah, and there's spaces that are set up. But I also feel mindful, I don't know if you share this, but just being very conscious as well, that we're sort of, you don't want your story to overtake when we're existing and doing our crafts on stolen land as well. That's a very conscious part of,
and that's a conscious thing for me when doing Broad, was to make sure I did an acknowledgement, you know,
absolutely,
at the beginning of every show.
Yep.
Every episode has to be, because it just has to.
Yeah.
I don't pointedly say out stolen land, but I wanted it to be to acknowledge the women from the past.
Absolutely.
And the ones in the future. Aunties. I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, to me, is really essential.
Yeah, yeah. That's, so it's that dynamic as well, isn't it? Is, yes, we've got to work through the different elements of our identity, but it also needs to be, like, I think, the traditional owners, that has to be ahead, for me, when it comes to all of that. So I try to make sure those, you know, that the voice of, you know, Aboriginal Australians are also incorporated in whatever stories I tell as well.
And for music, I mean, you talked about Briggs before.
Yeah.
Any women, Aboriginal women, musicians?
Oh, my goodness.
You can think of?
Well, there
throwing
was,
you in the deep end?
Yeah, no. That's fine. I mean, there was is it Brenda Lee, who was an auntie that supported, I can't remember the artist's name. But yeah, she did, you know, really early blues and jazz in the 40s and traveled the world. So she actually shot to fame, you know, around the world rather than in, she just wasn't recognized as an Aboriginal artist here. Yeah. But I mean, there's Sovereign Tracks, who's a really fantastic local DJ and artist. There's Leah Flanagan, who is a Darwin sister, and I think that her music's amazing. as well. And of course, with Titus many years ago, I mean, that's...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and
still,
for me...
Yeah, amazing.
Absolutely. I was listening to them, actually. I was listening to In Our Name popped up on my car stereo, which is great, while I was driving in. But, you know, it was powerful for me at 3CR when I first started doing my very, very first show there. It was a 4 o'clock youth home time slot, and I came in after Auntie Destiny Deacon and also Auntie Lisa Belair, and that was amazing for me to follow on from two really powerful black women that, you know, helped me sort of just be at ease with being able to share my story and not being apologetic about who and what.
That's important to feel
absolutely
that comfort and to be in that zone, space.
And so to follow on in the same studio space after them every week over 4 years was incredible. And then seeing the work that they were doing as activists within the community was incredible as well. So it opened up a whole new world for me getting into community radio.
Has anyone done a documentary about 3CR? Like, really?
Yeah,
there's
I know.
So much history there.
Absolutely.
You know, activism and the very important culture.
And just the land as well. Yeah. There's something about, you know,
there's
like
something happening
being,
over there.
Absolutely. It's powerful, you know, when it's just, there's such poignant stories in there. And I love, it's such a great station.
Mm. If you're listening and you are a 3CR person or you know what we're talking about, let us know, 0427JOY949. We have had a message. I'll read that out shortly. Or you can email us on air at joy.org.au and have a chat to us because, it's important and acknowledging all those women out there and women of colour in the media. More of that shortly. You're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Molly Crabapple and you are listening to Broad on Joy 94.9. Holding hands with Trevor, not the greatest.
This is Sonia and Broad on Joy 94.9, and that is the amazing Nairi covering a Tame Impala song. I just couldn't believe it. The less I know, the better.
Can I be honest?
Yes.
I've never actually heard the Tame Impala version. I'm not going to be chasing it up because that is amazing. She is amazing.
She is. And I chose it especially for you because I know that you do follow her and certainly her career. And would you say you're a fan? A fangirl.
Well, and look, people might say I'm slightly obsessed. I would just like to say that I'm very, very enthusiastic about Nairi. I really love her because, I mean, you know, just as another Papua New Guinean sister, I think she reps our nation fabulously. And I love that when I see her, because I MC at quite a number of different festivals, so we'll bump into each other from time to time, and she can switch to language just like that
A
heartbeat. Yeah.
Right.
You can take the girl out of PNG, Sonia. You can't take PNG out of the girl.
But do you find that, are there many, the diaspora of PNG people in Melbourne, are there a lot?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's not a huge community as there would be, say, up north, like in Brisbane, especially Cairns, also in Townsville. Huge communities there. And I think it's really funny because as a Papua New Guinean, you know that there's a lot of other PNG people around. So nationals, we call each other Wantoks.
Okay.
So you know that there's a lot of Wantoks around when you're out and about and they just ignore you when they see you. You know, like in Melbourne, we're like, hi, hi, how are you? Hi.
Because there's a deficit.
Totally. So, yeah, look, there is a pretty solid community here. I tend to mix more with the music and the arts crew, the arts Wantoks. But, yeah, I mean, we're here. It's not a huge community, but for those of us that do know each other, it's always wonderful when we get together and the food.
I haven't eaten, so don't say anything.
Okay.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
If it's like Islander food, it's just like food from Aotearoa. It's
exactly. Well, I think there's the hangi
in the ground too.
Yeah, yeah. So we do a mumu.
Oh,
And then I think the Tongans call it the umu.
Umu. Yeah.
And yeah, so there's different words, but wrapping it up. I mean, we use lots and lots of aluminium foil because we haven't got the banana leaves to do all the wrapping. So that's the way we get around it.
Yeah.
So
And we use sacks. Actual, you know.
Oh.
Hessian sacks and foil, advanced into the foil stage. And that makes them, it sort of stops it from drying out, the food from drying out, because they soak it first.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I've never thought of the sacks. I'm going to have to get that out on the coconut telegram and spread the word.
Hot rocks. Hot rocks and lots of digging.
Yeah.
The boys do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, look, an amazing career, Nairi.
Just without
a doubt.
Great
following, great people that she works with and really has foresight about who she wants to collaborate with.
Yeah, she's very smart in that way. I think when it comes to her creativity, she's very strategic about it and she can afford to be. I mean, she's so incredibly talented and, she's definitely copped it though because she was an artist who called out Australia's music industry for its racism. But you know, she held her ground on it and didn't budge and was just very clear to clarify that that's what her experience is. And it's not anything that she's ever gone on about. I mean, she was asked the question during an interview and she said, she's an electronic artist. She gets programmed often to either play on Indigenous stages or world music stages. She's not a world music artist. I mean, except by virtue of the fact that she's got dark skin. I mean, really, when you think about it, what's not world music? All music is made in the world. It's such a weird
made
term.
Made on the planet, yeah.
Yeah, it's such a
Maybe
weird
term.
Maybe
it should be Mars music.
Hello. Exactly.
This is like Star Trek.
It's so, it's really weird. It's just kind of this, that's the term that we'll use for this undifferentiated mass of people who are not Anglo, you know?
Yeah.
So it's very strange. But, she and I also really love that she's incredibly proud of her heritage and really rocks her Pacifica heritage. But, you know, she's not easily definable in terms of what the usual narrative is. Like, she doesn't really, you know, she doesn't do reggae. She doesn't do the typical island style music.
I don't want to laugh, but
Know, like, that's what the expectation
don't you
is.
Do, you know, dance or hip hop as well.
Exactly.
Just hip hop.
Yeah, know. That's right. That's, and she's beyond. Yeah. I mean, she's referred to as a, you know, neo soul artist, and yeah, she's all that and then some.
I know.
Really, yeah.
So yeah, just great. Was great to find that track. So really exciting.
Thank you. You've been nailing the music tonight.
I've been trying. We've had some messages too. I should talk about those. Hello. Someone says Trump is a symptom, not a president. He didn't win the popular vote. Hillary Clinton did. First time listener and curious.
Yeah.
There you go. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and true words as well, I think. Yeah.
That may be. I think it's the political system there. I don't know enough about the whole way it works with voting.
College electorate.
It's clearly they've got issues there with who crossed the line, who didn't. And we had another message too. So thank you for that message. Great music, and I must say I love your guests' wonderful red hair.
Woo! Who can see my red hair? Hang on, where's the camera?
Did you put a photo somewhere? Oh, up or?
Oh, anyway. Okay.
Maybe you have. Have you?
I had Snapchatted, but
there you go.
Right. Oh, well, there you go. You never know. Let us know how you know that I've got red hair. Wow.
Hey, spy or stalker. You can send us a message, 0427 joy 949, or email us on air at joy.org.au. And I think, we're going to talk probably, we've got a little bit more time. It's racing by, though.
I know.
But I do want to talk to you about what you're doing now and the future and what you want to do in a moment. Not right now, but
sure.
Give me a minute or two. Yeah, this is Broad here on Joy 94.9.
This is Jamie Babbitt, the director of But I'm a Cheerleader, and you are listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
This is Broad, as they say, over that side of the world, on Joy 94.9. I'm here, myself, Sonia, and we have Namila Benson, broadcaster, educator, extraordinaire. And we're going to talk about, self-care is something that we do want to touch on, but also your experience now at Triple R. Mm. And you were saying to me off air that you still are one of the few people of colour.
Yeah.
That are there. Why is that? Do you know?
Well, what is the answer, really?
I mean,
I think, you know, it's really hard, isn't it, to kind of explain to people that when you enter into spaces, and it's something that people of colour don't often talk about, but often you are the only person of colour when you enter. And I really, really love radio, and I really love Triple R. Like, I've been able to make a home and beautiful friends, like an extended family there. But, you know, it's hard, isn't it, to work out why it is that, and I've tried to get more people of colour to come through the station, but either they feel like, that it's not really a station that appeals to them or speaks to them or their community. But I know as well that when it comes to radio, and certainly with community radio, but also most definitely with ABC, my privilege is my accent. I mean, I was born and bred here in Melbourne and, you know, there's no shortage of incredible minds that I know within the POC, people of colour community. But sometimes people feel that, I mean, it's never anything that's overt, but I think even for radio, there is a sense that if you don't have an Australian accent, sometimes it can be difficult to make, to make it. And I, even with young people who I've trained, where English is not their first language, and trying to encourage them to come through different spaces, like 3CR is really great. I think that they have an incredibly broad,
very diverse.
Any number of different shows and stations and shows that are presented in language. But I think, it's a difficult thing with Triple R. I mean, I work there now as a broadcast trainer. I'm always on the lookout for, and they are too. They really, really want more people of colour to come through the station. But the fact that you will do training but then not continue on, that's what's missing.
That's what's missing.
Yeah.
There's nothing there. Just sort of buffer or...
Well, I think it's the structural stuff. You know, when you walk in and you don't, like, visibility and
representation. You don't see someone of colour in a place that is predominantly white, it does make you feel, like you're not welcome.
Absolutely, you know, and it's like being a woman and, and you know, you walk into a space where it's mainly males. Mm. I mean, that can, there's discomfort with that and, you know, perhaps even the other way around too. I mean, so I don't know what the key is, but hopefully, you know, Triple R's celebrating its 40th birthday.
I know.
Yeah, so I went and checked out the exhibition last week just over at the State Library, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I like that there's more women of colour that I'm seeing at various stations because I work across four different radio stations as a trainer and a mentor, and that's encouraging because when I first started, it was great to see lots of Aboriginal, you know, uncles and aunties that were doing radio and who really helped to guide me, especially the women. I've just had amazing women in my life who really, you know, just taken a huge leap of faith and really they saw something and just really fostered and nurtured that within me. So that's what I try to do in my capacity as a trainer now working. And, you know, I still have to pay the bills, so I'm happy to train most people, but I choose to focus, you know, specifically on women of colour. I think that's really important.
I think that's important.
Yeah.
And I mean, since meeting you and there was Vaxbix and Wahi and Hannah from Sovereign Tracks and then, of course, the girls from... Oh, my brain, it's just frozen.
From Still Nomads.
Still Nomads with Air. Yeah. And it really made me think about myself and where I am.
Mm.
And when I look around, it's white and it's kind of like, what am I doing? You know, it made me think, what am I doing to get more women of colour in here? And it's a constant. It's like, it's enough to try and get women in here.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
And have broad and have women's voices. But now it's the next step.
Sure. And absolutely. And there's so many different ways. Mm. I mean, that's what intersectionality is, isn't it? Mm. Is looking at the different intersections of our identities. And it's so, I mean, race is a really big thing for me. Mm. And I mean, it's funny because I'm sort of at the stage where some of the people I train call me auntie, so I'm at that weird phase now. It's like, oh, I'm getting old.
No. But not calling you grandma.
Totally. But you know, I find it so impressive just the confidence of younger, you know, WOC who are not looking for permission.
Yeah.
They're not an apologist about who they are, and they're just creating spaces for themselves, which is something my generation didn't
do. And
that's
great to see.
Yeah,
you know,
it's powerful to see.
And not thinking, looking over the shoulder, not thinking, well, what will white people think?
Yeah.
Not giving a damn. Just doing it for themselves.
For themselves, their friends and their family. Yeah, their community is amazing.
Very important.
Yeah.
Self-care. We've got a little bit of time. what sort of things, you know, do you find that you do to make sure that you're feeling okay?
Yeah.
And it's because sometimes it must just...
It gets heavy.
It's heavy and intense and overwhelming.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you do?
I log off from online social media.
Mm-hmm.
And my inner circle is just filled with really incredible women. I come from a matrilineal culture, so women are very visible, they're very vocal, and whether it's my elders or my nieces or my sisters, I pull them closer to me and we cook together, we eat together. It's incredibly important to me. I've got a 3- and a 4-year-old, you know, two little boys that they're raised and that they see and know really incredible women and just the joy that they bring mama. So that's my thing, family and community. My culture is my life. It's everything to me, and that's my happy place apart from radio.
And it's like an extension of that happy place.
Yeah.
You know, very much so.
Absolutely.
You know, really important.
Yeah.
Now, look at the time.
Oh my goodness. Has this hour just flown? Have we been on air for an hour?
Yeah, we've been talking that much.
That's
amazing.
Wow.
Beck, Bite Me Down Under, chats with Peking Duck next. So that's next. So don't go away. That's at 10 o'clock and we're heading there. 5 minutes to go. So when we do wrap it up, I'll get people to, oh, actually, I'll get you to, I don't know, say what you're going to do next, coming up, here on Broad on Joy 94.9. Yes, here on Broad on Joy 94.9. It's been a really fast hour, really been great having a real live human being in the studio, Namila Benson. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sonia. I've had a blast.
And so tell us, what are you up to? You've got an event there you want to talk about?
Well, there's the Racial Justice Day Out, which is an open forum that's happening at Trades Hall. It's part of the Global Street Party that's going to be celebrating diversity on December the 10th, but some great discussions around race, looking at intersectionality, racism, classism, capitalism, indigenous rights and sovereignty, the dehumanisation of asylum seekers and refugees, racial profiling, institutional racism, lots of conversations with lots of people. So
sounds perfect. And speaking of talking, I'll be doing that this is it this weekend? I don't know. I'm looking at you. I don't know. This weekend it's part of La Trobe. It's part of Beyond the Culture Wars LGBTIQ History Now conference. And I'm on a panel there with the wonderful Lana Wolf. People may remember her from the good old days of Joy. No, she was here last year, but she had a wonderful show. Queer and trans women of colour on the culture wars, and that's 3 o'clock to 4:30. Whole hour and a half. How am I going to cope with that?
You will. This hour, you'll be fine.
Oh, no. So how can people find out more about the wonderful Namila Benson?
You can get onto Twitter, Sister Selector with a K is, if you just look that up on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, I'm there. Cool. I'm hanging out.
And we had a message from Jade. Thank you, Jade. She says, hi, thank you for coming to talk to the broad audience.
Oh, thank you.
It's you, Namila. Yeah. Awesome.
Okay. And you, Sonia.
And everyone. And so big thanks to the people who make, or the beautiful women who make the beautiful music that we played tonight. Nairi, we had the late and wonderful Sharon Jones, and the wonderful Aradhana Patel as well. So they rock.
Yeah. Oh, amazing.
We'll so love good. Them.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thank you so much again.
I hope we meet up again soon. I'm going to have you on Triple R.
I know. I'd be really nervous then.
No.
But at least it'll be the two of us. We'll be together.
Absolutely. You know. Yeah.
Okay. Beck's on now with Bite Me Down Under here on Joy.
Thank you, sisters. You've been listening to this broad podcast here on Joy 94.9. Don't forget to tune in to us Monday nights at 9 p.m. on Joy for feminism in your ears.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.